Again, I'd like to say the shirim today are Lilu Nishmat, Aaron Eliezer Ben Zandel Shlomo, Zissel Ben Yitzchak, Rivka Bracha Bas Yaakov, Yehuda, Chaim Yehuda Ben Velvo, and Asna Bas Reb Shneer.
Esther
Bat Rachel.
Lilu
Nishmat, Esther Bat Rachel. Echa yashva badad ha'ir abati am ha'ita li'almana. How she sat alone, the city that was once full of people. She was like a widow, alone after being full of inhabitants. An action. Alone like a widow sits alone. Alone by herself, abandoned. Many had sought her out, and yet now she sits alone. Alone. She's not always been alone. She had known many. She had been filled with many. And now her aloneness is all the more difficult, all the more felt. Alone, like a widow. She once had someone, but he is gone. She sits by herself, and there's no one to comfort her. Her aloneness was not meant to look this way. Her aloneness was meant to be something different. It was meant to be an aloneness of purpose, a uniqueness, not a degradation. Her aloneness was meant to be Am Levadad Yishkon, a nation that dwells Levadad, alone. It was meant to set her aside for royalty, for greatness. The internal national mission of it as an Am, not as a goy amongst the goyim, just a people, but an Am. She was meant to be alone, levadad. Am levadad yishon, a nation that dwells alone, with a mission of Torah and mitzvahs. She was meant to be alone as a moral voice in the world, as a people that stands up for God. She was meant to be alone as a nation that is compassionate, full of mercy, kind to the widow, the stranger, the orphan, the disenfranchised, the people on the fringe. Her aloneness was also meant that she would be judged differently than the other nations. That her responsibility was different than the other nations. And so if she sinned, she would sit alone, isolated. Echa yashva badad. How she sits alone. Moshe Rabbeinu talked about alone. He said, Hashem badad yanchenu ve'ein imo el nechar. That Hashem alone leads us. That He does not share with any strange gods. Hashem Badad leads His people. Moshe says that in his prophetic Shira, in Ha'azinu. Hashem will not share with any power, with any value, with any ideology, with any other priority. Badad. Alone. Hashem leads us. And when Moshe continues, he said, Vayishkon Yisrael betach badad. Israel will dwell in safety alone. Ein Yaakov el eretz dagan v'tirosh af shamav ya'arfu. That the fountain of Yaakov will be upon the land of grain and wine in Eretz Yisrael. That his heavens will drop dew. Badach Atach Badad. Secure in isolation. Under Hashem's protection. Only through Hashem do we, the Jewish people, do we, Israel, have protection. No other nation will protect us. Only Hashem. And if we rely on other nations to protect us, if that's where we think it's coming from, we will find ourselves alone, isolated, leaning on a reed of straw. And if Yaakov flourishes in the land, as the Pasuk says, it is Yaakov, it is not Yaakov who flourishes because of the land of Israel. It is the land of Israel that flourishes because of Yaakov and how Yaakov behaves. But that is only when Am Levadav Yishkom, only when we live alone with our mitzvahs and our Torah and our mission and our moral voice, and only when we follow the mission that Hashem gave us. Echa Yashva Badad, how she sits alone, says the Medrash in Echa Rabbati. Echa Yashva, how she sits. Shlosha nitnab'u b'lashon Echa. Three prophesied using the language of Echa. How? Echa, Echa. How? Moshe, Yishayahu, v'Yirmiyahu. Those three people, Moshe, Yishayahu, v'Yirmiyahu, each use the word Echa, but in a different way. Moshe Amar, Moshe's words while the Jews were in the desert, a flourishing people, a growing people, a transforming people. Moshe's words were, Echa esan levadi, how can I alone carry their burden? How can I alone? Look at them. Look how fortunate, look how beautiful they are. I know I'm only one person. How can I carry them? Yishayahu Amar. Yishayahu said, Echa haita lezona. How she has become a prostitute. Disloyal. Yirmiyahu Amar. Yirmiyahu the prophet said, Echa yashva badad. How she sits alone. Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, Mashal and Matrona, a parable to a woman, a great woman. Jayuva Shlosha Shoshvanim, that she had three handmaidens, three people waiting on her. Echad ra'alta b'shalfuta, one of them saw her in her calmness. She saw the stage in life when everything was going well. Oh, shalva, such naches. Echad ra'alta b'pachsuta, one of them saw her in her wildness. And she went crazy, did wild things, went out of boundaries. Echad ra'alta b'nivula, and one of them saw her in her degradation. Same person, three different witnesses. Kach Moshe ra'at Yisrael b'chvodam b'shalvutam. Moshe saw the Jewish people in their shalva, in their calm, in their peace, and in their kavod, in their honorable situation as Jews. Moshe saw us at the most exciting part of our lives. Moshe saw us in our potential, what we could achieve. And he was staggered by the responsibility to lead such a great nation as the Jewish people are. How beautiful, how holy, how fortunate, how pure. And so Moshe says, Echa esan levadi, how can I alone carry this people, this great and wondrous people? Yishayahu ra'otam b'pachsutam, but Yishayahu saw them in their wildness, the Amar, and said, Echa haita lezona, how she was a prostitute. Yishayahu sees her, the Jewish nation, in her betrayal, her impetuousness, her selfishness, her wildness. Yishayahu sees her following other values, other ideologies. Disloyal to her husband, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, cheating on him with other men, other gods, other thoughts. Echa haita lezona, how she was like a prostitute, how disloyal, how cheating, How treacherous! And finally, Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu ra'o tam nivulam. Yirmiyahu saw them in their degradation. Echa yashba badad. How she sits alone. How alone? The consequences of her actions leave her alone. How solitary. How isolated. How degraded. How pitiful. Three echas. One, Moshe's echa, potential. Yishayahu's echa, treachery. Yirmiyahu's echa, degradation. The more, and the three are connected, and there's not just a verbal link, echa, echa, echa. The three are connected because the more beautiful, the more holy, the more pure, the bigger the mission, the more the responsibility. And the more the responsibility, the greater is the degradation when we fail. And judgment comes when you're responsible and you do not live up to your mission. Judgment comes and moves us away from our special place of aloneness of mission, of purpose in Torah, to the lowly place of aloneness, the place of degradation, humiliation, isolation. The Medrash Zutta reports a dialogue, if you will, between Yirmiyahu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yirmiyahu defending the Jewish people and Hashem displaying his hurt. The Rash Rabbi Elazar ben Oshel, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Chen de Rash Rabbi Chanina Acharav, Echa Yashva Badad, how she sits alone. Amar Yirmiyahu lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yirmiyahu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem, he said, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Ir Sheshimcha V'Shivchacha B'Tocha, a city that has your name and your Shevach, your praise within it, V'Rov Ama B'Tocha and B'Shlosha Regali, and most of the people come to Yerushalayim for the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Echa Yeshva Badad, how could she sit alone? How could she be empty? And answers HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yirmiyahu. You know, if you're going to be an advocate for them, be an advocate for me. How she was like a prostitute. This is not by accident, says God. Not by accident. Continues Yirmiyahu. He says, they're crying bitterly at night. The Ruach HaKodesh Omeret, and the Divine Spirit answers him, V'hinei sham ha-nashim mivakot et ha-tamuz. Yes, there are women who are crying over Tammuz. Now, Tammuz was an idolatrous ceremony in which women sacrifice their children. And after they sacrifice their children, they cried because their children are gone. Says Yirmiyahu, they are crying bitterly. God says, I know they're crying. They're crying for Tammuz. They're crying for that ceremony. Yirmiyahu Amar, Galta Yehuda, Me'oni Me'rov Avodah, says Yirmiyahu, Yehuda was exiled because of affliction and because of great servitude. The Ruach HaKodesh Omer, and the Divine Spirit answered, V'tagel et ervata, she uncovered her erva, her nakedness. Because the word golos, exile, and tagel, uncover. This is not by accident. She's in exile because she was disloyal. Because she herself put herself in exile. Echa yashva badad, how we sit alone. We sit alone because we left the holiness of God's presence, being disloyal to his mission, Echa haita lezana, because she became a prostitute. We sit alone because we cried over things that aren't part of Ruchnius, that are not part of our spiritual mission. We cried over idols, we cried over ideologies, we cried over desires that are not part of Torah. Bacho tivke balayla, we have cried about things that are not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about the Torah, about Am Yisrael. We have cried about silly, stupid things. It don't seem so stupid when you're crying. We sit alone because we have sacrificed for things that we wanted, for our pleasures, but not for Hashem. And if you say to me, and you will, but we also sacrifice for Hashem, I will agree with you. You also sacrifice for Hashem. We also sacrifice for Hashem. But what? How much more could we, if we use the energy that we sacrifice for things that are not about Hashem? How much do we sacrifice for Tammuz? For things that are not within the Ruchani, within the spiritual world? We sit alone because of our disloyalty in betraying Hashem with other ideas, values, priorities. But Tagel et Ervata, she has uncovered her nakedness. Badad, alone after the betrayal, after the unfaithfulness. And all the aloneness that we experience in Echa Yashva Badad, how she sits alone, is because we did not dedicate ourselves enough to Am Levadad Yishkon, to a nation that dwells alone. This year, we have experienced isolation in the world of nations. It's not a new phenomenon, but for us, it feels new, maybe. They have lied about us. They have accused us. They have betrayed us. They have borne false witness against us. They have written reports about us. They have snubbed us. They have broken agreements with us. They have judged us like a thread of hair. They have condemned us for minute infractions that no other nation in the world would ever be judged for. I read in the paper something called considered ignorance. We know about it, but we're pretending we don't. But they don't pretend when it comes to the Jewish people. They don't pretend. We have sat alone in meetings, alone in world opinions, alone in presidential offices, alone among the nations of the world, alone in op-ed speeches, alone on college campuses. We have stood alone, sat alone. Echa yashva badad, says Rabbi Meir, Amar Rabbi Meir in Medrash Zuta. Amar Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Yishlayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yerushalayim, Mi hu shivcha badad, who made you sit alone? Why? Who made you sit alone? Amar lefanav Yerushalayim answered to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Mi yachol hashivenu badad ela ata bilvad. Who could make me sit alone? Just you. You're the only one that can make me sit alone. Nagabi yadosha paro v'lo yashavti badad. Paro's finger touched me and I did not sit alone. V'kevan shenagabi yadcha yashavti badad. But when you touched me, I did sit alone. We have been set apart by our enemies and by our friends. But this does not come in a vacuum. This is not because the world is filled with anti-Semitism. The world is always filled with anti-Semitism. The world was filled with anti-Semitism when Bilam HaRasha declared, Am Levadad Yishkon, a nation that dwells alone. We had been mocked, delegitimized by the world because we have been unfaithful and disloyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not the nations of the world's touch that makes us sit alone. It is Hashem's touch that makes us sit alone. And what we are doing here today, sitting on the floor, reading Kinos, is reminding ourselves why we are isolated, why we are alone. The real isolation is from Hashem. The isolation we experience is only because we have abandoned our loyalty to Am Levadad Yishkon, to a nation that sits alone in its moral voice, in its mission. Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Mi Yachol Oshivenu Badad Ela Ata. Who could make me sit alone except for you? And as we think over the year, we must ask ourselves, what happened? You know, many of you, and I have been together with Tisha B'Av for 16 years, so we've talked ourselves through the Intifada, and we've mourned ourselves through the Second Intifada, and we've mourned ourselves through terror and terror victims, and we've been through... You know, we're not, many of us know each other for years and years and years in this mode. And so every year we ask ourselves, what happened this year? What are we to learn this year? What is the mida keneged mida, the measure for measure, in the increasing isolation that we have experienced? Lies in the press. Where has there not been lies about the Jewish people and the state of Israel? Where has there not been lies about the IDF? Where? And we ask ourselves, is that in a vacuum? No. Have we been honest? Have we been honest in business? Have we been honest with ourselves? Have we been honest in the mitzvahs that we are keeping? Do we do them for Hashem, or we do them because everybody else does them, or because they're routine for us? Are we one thing on the outside and a different thing on the inside? What lies have we lived? How do we rationalize our lives? Well, this is really okay because... How do we convince ourselves that right is wrong and wrong is right? And if we have done those things, don't be surprised when they lie about us. Judgment of the nations. You know, Mr. Goldstone and the latest flotilla reports. On a tiny infraction that perhaps we did, ignoring all attempts to save civilian lives, they have judged us so harshly, like a thread of hair. Could it be that we have judged harshly? Could it be that we have looked at others and judged them kechut ha'sa'ara, like a thread of hair, not given them a chance? Could it be that we have expected perfect behavior from others, especially those people we don't agree with? Could it be that we expect more from others than we expect of ourselves? Well, then don't be surprised at Mr. Goldstone. He's just reflecting our behavior. Haiti. There's a devastation in Haiti, and Israel sends a crew, an unbelievable crew, people that were moser nefesh, that really gave themselves and saved lives, day and night. And were accused of harvesting human organs. Human organs for sale. Have we harvested benefit at the expense of others? Do we look at what is beneficial for us and what we can get out of something without asking ourselves, what is the real need of the other person involved? Do we treat people in a way that is so much, there's so much disposable material, what we can get out of them? Do we consider other people's needs? Even when it's not convenient for us. don't be surprised when we're accused of harvesting organs. Arrogance. The world has been arrogant, accusing us of crimes that they commit daily, times a thousand, times a million. Are we not arrogant? Are our schools not arrogant, excluding kids from different origins because they're not Michelano, our style, our type, our background, our look? Do we do that? And I'm not talking about one particular case, because maybe in that particular case it wasn't relevant. But the accusation was relevant. The accusation was relevant. Do we look down on people that come from different backgrounds, or immigrated from different countries, or just different than us? Are we arrogant about other people's religiosity? Huh, they don't do. Well, we wouldn't say it out loud, would we? Because we're very religious. Are we arrogant because we're smarter than? Because we learn better than? Because we're frummer than? Because our kids are better behaved than? Because we have more money than? Because we come from an English-speaking country than? I don't know. Are we arrogant? If the nations of the world are arrogant, it does not come in isolation. There is no one who can touch us but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chilul Hashem. We need to be thinking about Chilul Hashem constantly. Because the non-Jews, the Umos HaOlam, the nations of the world, are looking for us to mess up. It's as if Hashem has sent somebody to watch us, because we are not watching ourselves. We are not monitoring our behavior. We look the other way, not wanting to see, as if, you know, not seeing makes it bearable or okay, or I'm not really involved, it's not me. And maybe we look the other way because it's too painful to acknowledge the truth. And maybe we really can't fix it. But shouldn't we at least cry about it? Shouldn't we at least feel bad about it? Shouldn't we at least daven every day that there should not be a Chilul Hashem? And if we don't look at our behavior, Hashem will send somebody who will look at our behavior. Somebody who will notice, publicize, and humiliate us. And they will not notice us for our own good. They do not criticize from love to help improve us. They will notice our wrongdoing in order to shame us. The world is judging us. And they do not have an Ayin Tov. They do not have a good eye when they look at us. Do we? Do we have an Ayin Tov when we look at each other? Or do we only have an Ayin Tov when we look at ourselves? Secular Israeli and non-Jewish courts abroad have been treacherous in their judgments of us. But we are the ones who gave them credence to begin with. We are the ones who bypassed our own Batei Din, our own Jewish courts, our own halachot, taking our litigation to courts that use laws that are not based on Torah. Well, surprise, surprise, when the Supreme Court of Israel says, well, you came to us. Yeshivas have gone to court, secular court, against other yeshivas. Jews have gone to civil court rather than Batei Din. And that is an indictment of us all. We have not trusted Jewish law, Jewish courts, halacha, rabbis. And we can rail against the high court's chutzpah in sending parents who weren't even litigants to jail. But what brought us here to begin with? Why are we in the high court? How did it come to this? Are we completely innocent of the accusation of a sinas chinam, of baseless hatred? How did Jews sin during the Feast of Ahasuerus? You know what? It was a party. They went to a party. Well, the party was celebrating the downfall of the temple 70 years later. and the Jews joined in. Are we joining in? Are we joining in by going to their courts? We have joined the anti-Torah group by giving them credence. Rubashkin, I have to mention it. Whatever he did, 27 years? 27, would anybody else be sentenced to 27 years? Said Yerucham, Rav Yerucham, at a time in Poland, when Shechita was banned, I saw this in Rav Pinkus. Rav Yerucham said that the anti-Shechita ban is not merely an anti-Semitic act. It came because the Jews did not honor Kedushas Yisrael enough. So Pesach Din against the biggest supplier of kosher meat in America comes because we did not honor Kedushas Yisrael enough, our own holiness. Says Rav Yerucham, and that is the foundation of all the decrees against us. This is not about one Jew. It's about all of us. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, b'chol yom vayom, bat kol yotzeit mehar chorev. Every single day, a bat kol, a heavenly voice, comes down from Chorev, from the Mount Sinai, v'omeret, and says, Oy lachem labriot be'albona shel Torah. Woe to you, the creation, the created beings, because of the insults against Torah. Every day there's a heavenly voice. Did you hear it? Did anybody here ever hear that voice? Every day there's a voice that comes down and says, woe to those who are alive in this world because the Torah has been insulted. And yet we do not hear it. There was a time when people were sensitive enough to hear the voice. And today, we are not sensitive enough to hear the voice. We are no longer spiritually developed enough to hear the cry of sadness from heaven. Perhaps, as some say, and I quote Rav Pinkus, in our gut, we do hear it. Maybe somewhere inside we know the Torah is being insulted. Somewhere we hear the voice. But again, Rav Pinkus quotes Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Before Hitler destroyed European Jewry, and I know I spoke about this a couple of years ago during the Lebanon War, I'll say it again. It says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, we do not today hear the bat kol directly. Today we hear the bat kol in a different way. We hear the bat kol, the voice of God, through the voice of our enemy. It says again Rav Wasserman, after the Nuremberg laws were enacted, it is through our enemy that Hashem tells us what we are doing wrong. The Nuremberg laws, what did they say? Jews cannot go to social events with non-Jews. Check. Jews cannot study with non-Jews. Check. Jews cannot marry non-Jews. Check. That was the bat kol, says Rav Wasserman. The bat kol that came down and said, woe to the people because of the insult to Torah. So what message do we hear today through the voice of our enemies? You're lying. You are judging others harshly. You are arrogant. You have joined the camp of those who despise Hashem's laws. You have not hesitated to benefit at the expense of others without even considering them. Hey, Chayash Fabadad. We are isolated because we did not isolate ourselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We will sit alone one way or the other. We will sit alone with Hashem, Am Levadad Yishkon, a nation that dwells alone. Or we will sit alone without Hashem, Echa Yashva Badad, how she sits alone. And we can choose to be alone Levadad with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or we will be isolated without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. says the Medrash in Psikta Rabbati. Eicha yashvad badad, how she sits alone. Bodein kol aulam. Tmimim aleha alma abda ha'aretz nitzta. The whole world is astounded because the land has lost its spark. Kemidbar b'liyoshev, like a desert without an inhabitants. Yomer Hashem, and Hashem answered, Azvam Torati, it's because they abandoned my Torah. The world is astounded because Yerushalayim has lost its spark, my friends. And why is that? Al Azvam Torati, because you've abandoned my Torah. The Melech, there's a metaphor that the Medrash brings. The Melech, Shehayo Hevet Beno, a king who loved his son, Asano Malyat Shel Zahav, he made a gold necklace. But Toledo Ben Zavar, he hung it on his neck. Lo Asa El Hechiso, I love that son, he made him angry. He did something wrong. So the father took the gold necklace off the boy's neck and used it as chains around his feet. And that's what God did with the letters of the Torah. The letters of the Torah are like jewelry for us. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Gracious, Bara, Elohim, Et HaShemayim, Et HaAretz. Hashem gave us Otiyot Shel Torah, the letters of Torah, Kimonokit V'Natnam Atzavarim Shiyisrael, like a necklace, like jewelry, and put it on our neck, my sweet daughter. Let me give you a piece of jewelry, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Gracious, Bara, Elohim. As it says, Ki Livit Chein Heim Roshech Vanakim Legarganot Rotayach, because they are an ornament to the grace of your head and a necklace around your neck. Lo Asu Elazvuat Torah, but what did they do? They abandoned Torah. Shenemar, as it says, Azvuat Torati, they abandoned my Torah. Yimasubo, they despised it. Katav Eta Otiot, he took those same letters. Puraniot, as punishment. And he used those letters to write the kina, to write the lamentation. Eicha yashva badad. How she sits alone. Aleph. Bachotiv kebalayla gimel. Gula, gola, Yehuda, Yehuda's exiled gimel. The beauty, the jewelry that Hashem gave us in the Aleph Beis of Torah is rewritten in the lamentation of Eicha. Hashem made us a blessed people, a fortunate people. And that means that we are different. We live by different rules. We have different values. But we also have, and we have a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We pursue a different mission than the nations of the world. We sit alone, badad, alone. Am levadad yishkon, a nation sits alone. But if we don't wear the mitzvahs like jewelry, like precious, beautiful, valued, protected jewelry, then Hashem will take the jewelry and make it wear it as chains, persecuted, hounded, isolated, judged. And the letters of the Torah will be rearranged to the letters of Megillat Eicha. In essence, we Jews have had many leavings in time, in history, many leavings, many exiles. Some of them harsher than others. But for the Jewish people, says the Sitzei Chaim, there's no in between. You know what? There's no like Benoni. Either you're doing the Torah or you're not. Yeah, either you're with me alone or you're not. Either you're doing your mission or you're not. And so says the Medrash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Yeradati La'ar Sinai V'Natati Lehem Toracha. I gave them, I went, came down to Sinai to give them the Torah. This is a Midrash in Yalkut Shimoni. She'yavru Aleha V'Yanshuva. And they transgressed it, and they were punished for it. And now the Midrash, something very beautiful, compares what happens when we left Egypt and what happens when we left Yerushalayim. Kishet Yatzu Mitzrayim. When we left Egypt, Amar Moshe, Moshe said, Vayosh Hashem, Vayom Ha'uetz Yisrael, God saved Israel on that day. Kishet Yatzu Yerushalayim. But when we left Yerushalayim, Amar Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu said, Hashem Natani, Natanani Hashem B'yadi Lo Chalkum. Hashem has given me into the hands of people that I can't rise up against. I'm powerless. When we left Egypt, Moshe said, Ra'ayanos v'yadi, the Jordan River saw and fled. It split. The waters of the world split because God said to. And when we left Yerushalayim, Yirmiyahu said, Al Na'arot Bavel. We sat on the rivers of Babylon and cried. When we left Egypt, Moshe said, the mountains were dancing like lambs. And when we left Yerushalayim, Yirmiyahu said, the mountains are quaking. I've seen the mountains quaking. Earthquakes. When we left Mitzrayim, Moshe said, for 40 years you lacked nothing. But when we left Yerushalayim, our children had no food to eat, not even a piece of bread. For the Jewish people, there is no middle ground. Either we are celebrating Hashem, or it is a chilul Hashem. Explains the Maharal why. Because the Jewish people's natural state is a state of shleimut, shleimus, fulfillment, completion. And when we're not in a state of shleimut, of completion, we're entered, gone, finished. So we experienced the highest when we left Egypt and the lowest when we left Yerushalayim. There's a midrash, and I'll just tell it over, about the daughter. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one, after the destruction of Yerushalayim, was riding on a donkey. And his disciples were following after him. And they saw a young girl picking barley grains from the dung of an Arab cattle. Barley grains to eat from the dung of an animal. Said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who are you, my daughter? Who are you? And she said to him, do you not recognize me? He said, no. I am the daughter of Nachdimon Ben-Gurion. Now, Nachdimon Ben-Gurion was one of the three wealthiest people in Yerushalayim. He had stored enough food to support Yerushalayim for 3 years. He was a very big baltstucker. You should know, a very big philanthropist. And here his daughter is picking grain out of the dung of an animal. Said she, this young girl, to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, do you remember my master when you signed my ketubah? And he said to his students, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he said, I do remember. I signed 1,000,000 gold dinare from her father's house alone, not including her father-in-law's house. Very wealthy. And now, the depths of poverty. Picking barley from dung. And what is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's response to that? Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate you are, Israel. Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate you are, Israel. Shebizman she'osim mitzvot shemalkah kol, when you do the will of God, ein kol uma v'lashon she'oletzef, no nation can rule over you. But at a time that you don't do the will of Hashem, most Rabiyat Umashvela, they hands it over to a lowly nation. And not only to a lowly nation, but to the animals of a lowly nation. So here we had a girl who was the daughter of a tzaddik, really. A tzaddik, a baltstaka. So what went wrong? So commentators speak about it, but something a little off, because either we're at the peak or we're at the depths. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his response was, you're so lucky. You're lucky to have the mission. You're lucky that you're the chosen people. You're lucky that you were given Torah and mitzvahs. You're fortunate. You're blessed. You're fortunate. And when you do the will of Hashem, no one can stand in front of you. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you in your own land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you wherever you are. And no nation can dictate to you. But if you don't do the will of God, then you'll be handed over to the lowest of the low. That extra responsibility that we were given that made us the most blessed people in the world requires us to live up to the responsibility. And if we don't live up to the responsibility, we will be isolated and worse, persecuted. Where there is so much potential, as Moshe said, Echa esa levadi, how could I alone carry such a beautiful nation? Where there is such potential, there is such potential to fail. Echa ita lezona, how she was like a zona, a prostitute. And then the end result is, Echa yasha badad, how she sits alone. The city so full of people. The divine hand orchestrates our existence. The peak of glory is orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The lowest humiliation is orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we came out of Egypt, the hills were dancing, the waters were splitting. We came out of Yerushalayim. We had no water. There were earthquakes. Devastation. When Yirmiyahu was a young Navi, he was a young fellow, Hashem came to him and said, he says, you know, I'm choosing you to be the Navi. So Yirmiyahu didn't really want the job. He did not. He said, like, pick somebody else. Okay, I see what they did to the other Neviim, Eliyahu. They weren't nice to him, and they weren't nice to Elisha, they weren't nice to Moshe, they weren't nice to, like, you know what? God said, no, I want you. So, and how does he convince him? God says to him, listen, he says, B'terem itzarcha babetzen yidaticha, I knew you before you were in the womb. B'terem teitzei merecha mikdashticha, before you came out of your mother's womb, I dedicated you. Novi legoyim nitzaticha. I'm making you a novi, a prophet for the goyim, for the nations. And so Yirmiyahu thought, says the Medrash. Yirmiyahu thought, oh, he wants me to go scold the nations, the goyim. He's making me a prophet over the goyim, the nations of the world. And for that reason, Yirmiyahu agreed. And then God said to him, the first nation I want to send you to is Israel. Take a cup of wine, a cup of fury, he calls it, chema, and present it to the children of Israel. And Yirmiyahu, and he says to him, let them drink, let them stagger, let them be crazed, because the sword, I am sending this sword upon them. Yirmiyahu took it and he said, I thought you were going to send me to the nations in the world, you said. The goyim, netaticha. I'm giving you to the goyim to be a Navi, says God to Yirmiyahu. Who drinks the wine first? The one at the head. You can't give it to the goyim until you first give it to the Jews, because they are sitting at the head. And so Yirmiyahu is forced to go and tell the Jews of their doom. L'ma ha'davar domet, what is this thing similar? To a Kohen in the Beit HaMikdash, who has is given the job of giving water to the Sota. So does a woman who is accused of being adulterous. She may not have done that, but she's accused of being adulterous because she was in yichud, she was in solitude with a man who wasn't her husband. She was warned not to do that. She did it anyway. The Kohen comes into the Azarai, comes into the Beit HaMikdash to give her the water. They go through the ceremony, and he looks, and she is his mother. And the Kohen begins to cry and to shout, "My mother! My mother! My mother is the Sota!" So felt Yirmiyahu when he was sent to the Jewish people. "I agreed to go to the nations of the world. I did not think I would have to give the Mei Sota, the water, which is a test of disloyalty, to my own mother, to my own people." We look at the nations of the world, how they have isolated us, Echa, how they have despised us, Echa, how we sit alone, Echa Yashva Badad. We look and see how they have criticized us, how they have lied about us, how they have judged us unfairly. But we are the Sota. It is us that the Kohen cries about. It is about us that he shouts, "She is my mother." It is about us that Yirmiyahu cries and says, "Echa Yashva Badad." It is we who have not lived up to our mandate of Am Levadad Yishkon, of a nation that dwells alone. And we have a choice. We can dwell alone with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in this beautiful home that he's given us, this home of Eretz Yisrael, this home of Torah and mitzvahs. We are a blessed, fortunate people. But if we don't live up to that, we will sit alone. Echa Yashva Badad.